Hi, my name is Marie Nicola. I'm the culturally curious host of Alt Pop Repeat. I'm a pop culture historian and a correspondent for Addicted Magazine. Today, I learned the answers to if it's possible to overshare on Twitter, does gender have anything to do with drag, and why a pee pass is one of Scarlett Bobo's top travel trips for Amsterdam. So kick back for the next 30 minutes and let's learn a little bit more about the world according to Bobo as I talk to Canada's Drag Race Season 1 alumni, recording artist, and Addicted's December cover model, Scarlett Bobo. Has your world changed dramatically since you became a Rue Girl?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's crazy. Now drag is worldwide. It's seen as an actual career. When before, people would be like, you're a drag performer. What's that? But that also brought a whole wave of new drag fans. I was working like 7 nights a week for like $100. Like, if I could get that, you know what I mean? And now I'm traveling the world. I've been all over the world. I've been to UK twice this year. I just got back from Mexico for 5 weeks. It's just like, it's been a dream come true. People, we were in Istanbul and people were recognizing me and being like, oh my God, Scarlett Bobo. We were in Australia and same thing. People were stopping me at the mall and like asking for a photo. I was like, this is crazy. I'm in Australia and people know who the hell I am. Like, yeah. It's been really amazing, and it's been something I've always dreamed of. And so it's nice to just see kind of the benefit of working my ass off for the last 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, definitely working your ass off. And then I have to say the one thing that I think a lot of women, I don't know if they necessarily can articulate it, but the benefit of drag through women, and I know there's a lot of conversations about, you know, who's entitled to have to be a drag performer, conversations around bio queens and validating who. But as like a cis het woman, when I come into the world of drag, what I've gotten from it is a certain level of self-acceptance because there's so many looks, shapes, sizes, everything.
It's so great meeting fans around the world and getting to talk to them and meet and greets and feeling their experiences. And if I could just like take you out of your, you know, shitty day for an hour and a half and just like, you know, give you pure entertainment and make people laugh, then I've done my job. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an activist too, but to me it's just, I love being on stage and performing and just being able to take people into a new space and forget everything else, you know, for that 1 hour and just chill.
And just chill.
Yeah.
What is one thing you would say to your early drag self?
Oh, don't take yourself so seriously. Oh my God. There's so many times that even now I'm like, oh God, I'm not doing this properly, or she's doing that, and is this good enough that what I'm doing over here, and this. And then I'm like, oh, you're a drag queen. You got your dick taped up your ass. You're wearing a wig. You're putting on, you know, whatever smells good on the floor. You're wearing sparkles and fur. Like, you know, it's not that serious. And my career, it's because I take my career so seriously that I forget to enjoy myself sometimes while I'm in drag and while I'm doing drag. So I would just say, yeah, even still right now, don't take yourself so seriously, because there's no point. There's no point to always be critiquing and always be worrying and always being like, oh, another show. You know what I mean? Yeah. I kind of try to live life like this is my last show. What if this was my last show? What would I do?
Just, you know, give it all.
Yeah, totally.
What is the behind the scenes? What is the mechanics of business of drag?
I have a manager. I'm with Tuck Entertainment, and my manager Drew is amazing. It is crazy that there is a business of drag now. Like, look at Trixie Mattel. Like, she has cosmetics. She has a hit TV show. She has a motel. She has, you know, the list goes on. She sells out shows all over the world. You know, so drag has become a business, and I think that's really cool that, you know, there are business moguls that are drag queens. You know, I think we've come a long way. But when I started, no one would really take you seriously. No talent agencies were accepting drag queens, no modeling agencies. So it was really hard to get like TV and film stuff because people were just didn't really care for drag queens. And when they wanted a drag queen in like a TV and film role, it was like a man in a wig. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And so it was really hard. And now there's so many agencies that are specific just for drag.
Oh, really?
And yeah, tons all around the States. They're popping up all over Canada. And they might even Tech Entertainment mainly specifies in drag, which is amazing. It's really cool that you can actually make a business out of this. And not even getting being a Rue girl, you know, like the local girls are killing it. And I was a local girl for 13 years and I made a business out of it years and years and years ago. And there's so many people that this is their job and this is what they rely on, is the income that, you know, they get. And even they have managers now too.
You're mentioning, like, you brought up Trixie Mattel and how she has like this whole suite of things that she's working on. What's a part of your business stack? You've got drag. What else are you doing?
Working on an album. I've got my one woman show. I've been touring the world, which has been fantastic, and I never want that to stop. But it's tough to like do everything at the same time, because I feel like if I stop doing one thing and I focus on this thing over here, that's gonna succeed, but then the other thing is gonna kind of fall back. So it's like it's hard to be seen all the time, do everything and accomplish everything all at the same time while you're like on the road doing things. And that's why, like, I feel like a lot of drag queens don't get enough respect, because we are like, I'm on my phone all day long. We are working all day long.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough. Like, there's so much stuff coming up that I'm like, ay, ay, ay. But I'm also like, this is amazing. This is what I've dreamed of forever.
Yeah. And that's also why you have a manager to say, help you manage.
Help me, please.
Exactly. Give you a little perspective.
Yeah.
If there's one thing right now out of the entire suite of projects that you mentioned, what is the one thing you want to work on right now? Is it the music besides the drag? If you could have like a plus one, let's hone it in. What's next?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the music. Yeah. I just released my latest single called Daddy's Girl.
I was listening to that on the way over.
It's my Kim Petras slut pop era.
Oh,
we love. I worked on a new song called Jealousy with Landon Brawley. I signed on to So Fierce Music here in Toronto, and so the album is really what's next. Working on the music videos, working on the songs. I have a co-writer, Quanta Style. She helps me with a lot of my stuff. So that's kind of like what's the main project right now, but. You know, I've got DragCon coming up, UK DragCon. I've got a European tour and a cross Canada tour. And then I'm moving to LA. So it's like a whirlwind of stuff. But definitely right now, the music to me is wicked, because I used to not like performing my own music. I don't know why. I used to just, I would perform it and people would be like, what song is this? This sucks.
No, stop.
not actually. But like, they would kind of just like look at you on stage like, we don't know this song. But now, like, I'm noticing, like, I'm singing my own songs and people are singing them back to me. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Like, people know my music now.
So
that's definitely something I want to focus on.
It's incredibly powerful that you're able to like step into all these other mediums and explore it and explore your own creativity. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be an expectation of drag performers that you do put your toe in other things.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to.
It's funny. Yeah. Like you said, with like Lady Gaga, like, oh, she's an actress now. Like what? But on Drag Race, it's like you have to sew, dance, sing, act, model, runway walk, comedy, roast. Like there's so many things that like you literally have to be able to do everything. And that's when it's like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Well, how do I do that?
But you learn pretty quickly.
It's a very sink or swim kind of thing.
Amazing. Do you think that persona was something that RuPaul brought into it? Do you think that if RuPaul hadn't stepped in that space, that breadth of opportunities and the expectations of drag performers would have necessarily been there?
I think eventually somebody would have stepped into that kind of role, but it just, I guess, made sense that it was RuPaul, because she was so known and so big, and she was the most famous drag queen, really. Like, don't get mad at me if she... that was wrong. But
no,
you know,
well, I mean,
like,
she is.
Yeah, in the 80s, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's this huge drag queen, like, in mainstream media. So I think, I don't know, it probably would have taken a lot longer if she hadn't started it. And, you know, she started it with, like, nothing.
Absolutely.
And she's built, like, an empire. And through her empire, other queens have built their own empires. It's just really wild.
Why Twitter? Why do you feel so comfortable to do that?
Well, I don't really know. I didn't know how to use Twitter for the longest time. And before the show, I never used it. And then I started using it and I was like, oh, maybe I have to be funny. Like, I got to write down everything that I thought pops in my head. And
yeah.
And someone was like, yeah, that's what Twitter's for. I was like, okay, I'll start doing that. But then I started going through it. And then I was just like, no one's listening to me. No one's listening to me. So I would like go to Twitter and like post it on Twitter. And then other people would have this like similar reactions, like, or similar experiences than I would. And and then especially with like with my mental health and everything and what I've been going through, people have really been kind and like so open and amazing and accepting.
Yeah.
And people have been like, thank you so much for opening up. Like, you've made me more comfortable to open up about my mental health and my experiences.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, I just found it this outlet. And even someone was like, oh, this is too much for Twitter, girl. I was like, well, it happened. So there's that. And, you know, they're like, maybe this should have stayed in the drafts. And I was like, well, maybe if you don't like it, go away. I think vulnerability and humility is important. And I think if you don't have that, then, you know, this world can be a very tough place. And so if you don't have that constant, you know, humility about yourself, it's hard to be authentic.
I think it's a bit of a superhero power that one moment you are a man living life as a man, and the next moment you are living life as a woman. Like, your superhero persona,
yeah,
is female. And that's so crazy to me, because for how long have people said that if you want to dress as a woman, if you want to be a woman, that is less than. That's mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so deeply political, because it's so punk in yeah. every single way.
And now it's gotten to the point that you can do whatever you want. You're going to have tits and a dick and whip them out at the same time. And you could be whoever you want. And drag has no gender and drag has no limitations yes. to it. And I think I hate when people put rules on drag. It's like, why?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be messy and crazy and fun. And it's yeah. art. Make it messy. Yeah. Make it fun.
And it's beautiful. Love bearded queens. Weirdly obsessed with bearded queens. Weirdly obsessed. May have put on a mustache as a result and then realized how hot I look in a mustache. And then I was like, the world just needs to accept the fact that I look hot in a mustache.
Hell yeah.
I mean, why not? But it is fun. It's like, you know, if you think of gender as gender is simply, it's a costume. It's what do you want to wear in the day? Who do you identify as and who do you want to move in this world as? And then when you see it reflected back in this beautiful and theatrical way, it really does push the boundaries of what society has told you to be true.
Yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely.
None of those rules apply anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? I had a conversation at one point with somebody who said that women who dress in drag are appropriating the art form.
of men dressing as women. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. Oh, make it make sense.
I know, exactly. And I was like, well, I mean, I always think that it's just women. Men dressing as women is shunning society in its own way. Women dressing up and in drag is taking ownership and empowerment. It's two slightly different things. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think it should all be together, to be completely honest. Like, I want to see everybody at one show. I want to see AMAB queens, AFAB queens. I want to see non-binary peoples. I want to see everybody at one show. You know what I mean? And I feel like the drag community, there's such a divide. And it's like, oh, well, they're over here and they're over there and they perform over here. And I never understood that. I'm like, we as a community should be whole. But for some reason, we as a community are like putting ourselves in these little boxes. And I never understood that. And I never got why that was the case. Because we are all just doing the same thing. We're all just having fun. We're all performing. We're all living life under the same queer roof, you know? And I never understood the hate and what's the opposite of, what am I trying to say?
Like ownership, feeling like they're.
Yeah. Like, oh, drag is my thing, not your thing. Well, says who?
Exactly. Says who?
Yeah.
It's an art form. It's something to be appreciated. If it's worthy of being shared, then it's worthy of attracting artists of all ilk to it.
Totally.
Regardless of what we were assigned at birth.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Who the fuck cares what's between my legs? Like, gross. Go away, pervert.
Do you get a lot of people who are like, so how do you do your tuck? And they like really get into
it. Yeah, they really get into it. I always laugh at it. I'm like, why do you care so much? Just go get a fucking tight thong and pull it back, girl. Like, away.
Oh my goodness. I can't even, again, like, I can't even imagine.
I've had people be like, can I watch you tuck?
No.
I'm like, bitch, this. I'm like, yeah, sign up for OnlyFans. Can't, no.
No. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I'm like, no, like, get away from me.
Okay. Oh my goodness. So like, do people just send you DMs online and they're just like, hey, I want to see.
Oh my God. I get so many weird DMs. That's why like it was nice when I was verified. Twitter took my verification away because it got hacked. But it was nice because you weren't allowed to like, there was like a hidden list that I never got to see.
Yeah.
But now everybody's just, it's just weird. People DM you weird, dumb shit. I'm like, I haven't had Snapchat in forever. My friend was like, get Snapchat. Like, it's so much fun. I love using the filters. And as soon as I get Snapchat, it was like just these random guys like sending me dick pics. And I was like, what the, who are you? And they're like, you're sexy. Let's meet. I'm like, what? Where? Who? Why? When? What?
Again, the world feels entitled to you because you're a performer.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is very weird. Well, I'm sorry that you have to go through those experiences.
Whatever. It is a dead day in a life.
And imagine back in the day, you know, RuPaul probably got actual photos sent to her in the mail.
Yeah. Just like mailed photos.
Exactly. Here you go. Here I am on display. I did this photo shoot for you.
Totally.
So how long are you in town for? Are you going to be doing any shows in Toronto while you're here?
I'm working on doing like a little Christmas show at the Drink. That might happen. It might not. I'm in town until Christmas Day. I leave the 25th to go to Istanbul. And then I go from there to DragCon UK, which is super exciting because I have a lot of UK fans.
Yeah.
And so it'll be a nice 3-day meet and greet. LA DragCon was pretty crazy. So I've heard UK DragCon is going to be just as wild and intense. And then I do a European tour, which is super exciting because I get to go back to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam is my favorite place in the whole world.
What is the one thing you always have to do when you're in Amsterdam?
Obviously, smoke all the weed. And me and my partner go to the place where we got engaged because I proposed to him there.
Get out.
Yeah, we're in front of this beautiful church. So we always just go there just to like have a little coffee and sit in front of it and just reminisce.
Have you been in Amsterdam for Pride?
Yeah. Holy. It's amazing. Watching the boats on the canals. Oh, it's crazy.
Okay.
And it's super cool.
Can we talk about the garbage barge that goes through and everybody starts throwing their bottles in it?
Yeah. Like, it's wild. And it's so organized. Like, it's unbelievably organized. Except the funny thing is you have to buy a bracelet so you can pee unlimitedly.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, or else you have to pay like €1 every time you want to go pee, or you pay like €10 for like a weekend pass. You get like a weekend VIP pass to the bathroom.
I had no idea that you have to get a pee pass whenever you're there. Well, I mean, what was I going to do? Like, cover, and now it's not going to work. I happened to be in Amsterdam for Pride just very accidentally 1 year.
Oh, it's so wild.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
The fact that the floats are actually floating down the canals. Yeah, and
they go up, and then they go down when they go under the bridges, and then they go back up again.
It's
so cool.
It's such a cool experience.
And, like, all the people crowded out. I don't know how people don't fall in the river.
I think so.
In the canals. Because people are, like, on top of each other, on the canals. I'm like, how do people not fall in there?
I would sit and watch the travel guide, yeah, according to Bobo, yeah, any day.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a lovely guide.
So it's number one tip when you're getting on planes, because you get a lot of them.
Number one tip before you get on planes, go to the bathroom.
Theme here.
I hate having to go. It gives me the worst anxiety. If you're like, I like the window seat, but then if like I'm flying by myself, I'm like, excuse me, can I go to the bathroom? And they're looking at you like, I'm sleeping. I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, I'll hold it until like I'm like gonna cry.
Peeing is a big deal for you. We've mentioned it twice so far.
I have to pee now too.
I mean, we can pause and you can pee.
Okay, can I go pee?
Yeah, of course you can. Okay. Go and pee. So tell me about the experience of, do you write your songs? Do you work with, you mentioned that you work with a writer.
Yeah, I write most of my songs. Actually, all of them I've written. My first album, I was writing with my producer, Matt Silver, mm-hmm, and Quanah Style, Alice in Chains as well. And then Daddy's Girl, I wrote, and then I had Quanah Style help me kind of piece it together with the Velvet Code. He runs So Fierce Music, and he is amazing. And my latest song I worked, which is coming out in the new year, called Jealousy, I worked with Landon Brawley. He's a DJ Frustra in Toronto. And he wrote a banger. I'm really, really excited for that one to come out.
I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you just want to play a little.
Oh, maybe. I'll play it for you.
Okay, done. What is the experience like about getting music? Is it something that you've wanted to do for a while? I mean, you've been doing it for a while. I do recognize that. Yeah. But, you know, was it something that you always had as a bucket list of things to do?
Yeah, like, I always wanted to be a singer, but then I was like, I don't have a good voice. But I was like, but I enjoyed, like, writing poems and shit like that. And. Yeah. And then I enjoyed writing music. I was connected really well with music. I always just felt really, you know, drawn towards music. I need music in my headphones all the time. And no matter where I am, I have to, like, be listening to music. And so then I found a way. I was like, I can just, like, talk really funny. And, like, you can auto-tune it. And, like, you know what I mean? I kind of found my way to get into it and kind of find my own way of doing it, which is really fun. And I love making the music videos. I love the whole process of it. I love getting into the recording studio and working with everybody, and it's all like a collaborative effort, and I just think it's fun. It's silly, it's fun. And again, I don't take myself too seriously with my music. Yep. Like, Daddy's Girl is just about getting fucked and cars and bathroom stalls.
I mean,
just like relatable content.
It's just exactly. It's like liturgical in context.
So I don't take my music too seriously. And it's just, and I think people, I have fun with it. And I feel like if I'm having fun with it, then everyone else is going to have fun with it too.
So how would you describe your music? If you could give it a name, a genre.
Electro, slut, punk, pop.
Hot. I'm here for it. I want to be electro slut.
Yeah, pop punk. Yeah, I think that's what it would be like.
Amazing. And you mentioned you're always listening to music. If you opened up your Spotify right now or your Apple Music, what song's queued up?
I believe it's SZA's new album. Yeah, Snooze by SZA. Because I've been listening to her new album. And what else do I got in here? I got Dance Fever by Florence, Avi.
Yeah.
I got Technicolor by Madison Rose, my good friend. I've got Pink. Pink is my girl.
Really?
Oh, she's my favorite person in the entire world.
Amazing.
The entire world. I've seen her in concert like 20 times.
Oh, I know she did the other day. She was at the Largo in Los Angeles. She did a show with Dave Grohl. They did a Hanukkah concert.
I saw that, yeah.
And I was like, girl, I would love to go to the Largo, this cute little theater in LA, and just have audience. It seems so intimate and cute.
Yeah.
So when are you going to meet Pink? When are you guys going to?
Oh, hopefully soon. Damn it. Last tour, I went like 6 times in the pit, and to the point that I got my costume designer to design what she was wearing on stage. And there's a picture of us holding hands in the same outfit. And she called me out and she was like, "Yo, you always look amazing. Da, 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 da. You're so cool. I just love you." And I'm just like, "Wah!" like screaming and crying in the front row.
Who of the girls from your season do you still stay in contact with?
All of them, pretty much.
Are you going to end up doing any other series in the Rooverse? Are we going to see you in an All-Stars, you think?
You might. I hope so. Yeah, I think it's in the cards. I don't know when, though, because it's like, you know, you don't really apply for it again. No. You kind of just get the call.
So you just got to make sure you don't change your phone number.
Uh-huh. Don't change my phone number. Which every time I go get a new SIM card somewhere else, I'm like, what if they called me? Yeah. Now they have an email. I would like to do another season, I think. I think I've learned a lot from my season, and I've grown a lot from my season. And I think knowing what I know now from doing my season, I'd be like, oh, I could do this. Like, I'm more prepared for the experience. Because the first, like, walking to that workroom that first day, I was like, I've never done drag in my whole life. Oh my God, I'm a brand new queen. Like, everything just washes away and nothing you've done prior matters at all. You're all on the same playing field.
Yeah.
And so, and you never know what's coming next, right? So I think knowing that, with my experience, I think I would like crush a second season.
I think you would too.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you've gone through it. Like you said, you kind of have, you know how the whole thing is going to play out. So you can prepare a little bit differently for it.
And I definitely would prepare a bit differently for it too.
Which is, what queen would you love to compete against the most?
What queen would I love to compete against the most?
I mean, they could be a Rue girl. They might not be. Like, it doesn't matter. Any queen.
No. Someone who I can beat or someone just in general?
Who are you going to battle?
Who am I going to battle? Oh, my God. I would love... Oh, that's such a crazy question. Who would I love to compete against? Canadian Rue girl?
Doesn't matter if it's a Rue girl. It could be a local girl. I mean...
Oh, I'd love to battle Ivory Towers in a lip sync.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ivory Towers is real good. And that'd be a really good lip sync, actually.
It would be a fantastic lip sync. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. We would mop the floor with each other.
You're incredibly good at your lip syncing. There's a few times where my heart leaped out of my chest when I was like, oh my goodness, is she going to? Oh no, she's fine. She's fine. She's good.
That's why my mom does it all of my shows. She goes, don't jump from there.
Oh, okay. He's good. It's good. It's fine. And the circus performing, are you still keeping up with that?
Yeah, I'm actually getting back into some classes while I'm in town because I want my new one woman show, which I'm going to be putting in previews in Mexico in April, I believe, is going to be an all pink show. So if that doesn't get Pink's attention, I don't know what will.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
But I want that to be obviously very heavy, very circus heavy. So I'm getting back into my aerial silks. I still do all my fire and everything. I'm trying to just go to more dance classes and more acrobatic classes. And I want to hang from the ceiling more.
Me too. I mean, that sounds absolutely...
Yeah, it's fun.
That's incredible. How long did it take you to learn the silks?
Like a year, 6 months to a year.
I'm just asking for myself.
To be like to be comfortable with it for like 6 months to a year.
That it's honestly, it's like.
But I was like so excited. I was like, get me up there, let's go.
It's so fantastic.
It's really hard though.
Oh, I believe it. I feel like you just need to have a lot of strength and also a lot of confidence in your skills.
And like, oh, if I fuck that up, well. Oopsies.
Oopsies.
Now I'm going to fall. Oopsie daisies.
Well, you're an absolute delight. Thanks so much for taking the time. And last call, if there's anything else you want to shout out.
Check out my new single, Daddy's Girl, available now on all platforms. And keep a lookout for my new album and the new music video coming out in a couple weeks. And keep a lookout for me in Europe and the UK in the next few months. And thanks so much for having me. This has been amazing.
And before you go, let us know. Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for you. But where should we follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Scarlet Bobo. I believe my TikTok is It's Scarlet Bobo as well. I think it's all at It's Scarlet Bobo.
Amazing. Easy peasy. We'll be able to find you. And last call for everyone to send a message to Pink and let her know.
Let her know.
We got to get some collabs happening.
Please, please.
Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed today's conversation, please check out my show, Alt Pop Repeat, at altpoprepeat.com. And if you want to learn more about pop culture history and other fun facts, be sure to follow me on Instagram at KarmaCake or on Twitter at KarmaCake.ca. That username is all spelled out. A big thank you again to Scarlet Bobo for sitting down to chat with me, my producer, Darren Ney, for making sure I always sound amazing. And last but not least, Addicted's fashion editor and creative director, Lindsay Delaney, for facilitating this interview. Until next time, remember, like I always say, love culture, even if it's pop.